Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tractable Podcast. I'm Shitej, co-founder and CTO here at Orb. Today I have with me John. John is the co-founder and CTO of Felt, which is a platform for making maps. Teams use Felt to make all sorts of maps, whether it's understanding weather patterns, graphing communities for environmental investigative work, or even in the software world for mapping out sales charts. So I certainly know I have a lot to learn about this world, so I'm very excited to dive in. Welcome to the show.
Hello, excited to be here.
I definitely want to talk a lot about Felt and the technical problems, but tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into the maps world, and how does it relate to kind of the previous places you might have worked?
Yeah, sure. So my name is John, it's spelled C-A-N. I'm Turkish originally. So I came to the States almost two decades ago for college, ended up staying. And then since 2010, I've been in the Bay Area working at like various different software companies. I worked in the past decade, almost two decades now, at a social media company called Dig, kind of precursor to Reddit. I was there for a bit. I worked at a file systems kind of company. Then I worked at like Uber for a few years. Then decided to take some time from the Bay Area, came back, and late 2020 started Felt with my co-founder and close friend, Sam. How we got into mapping is two ways. Sam's previous company, Sam was the CEO, co-founder of a company called Remix, which you can think of it as like SimCity, but in real life. So he ran that company for 5 years and he got acquired. So Sam was like working on that space, you know, transit planning software, right? Like if you're taking like public transit in the, you know, most of the modern world, it's probably designed in Remix. Obviously, people were like using Remix's tools a lot to do stuff that is not transit planning. It was just like, you could, like once you make like maps, this like computable, shareable, collaborative platform, turns out people want to do a lot of stuff with them. Right. But he always like, you know, he was like thinking about that. I was at Uber for like a little over like 3 years. So Uber, one of the like open secrets of Uber is that Uber is not just this, you know, automatically balancing equilibrium marketplace. There's actually a lot of internal tools. And like, I would say a good chunk of those internal tools are like mapping tools. So I was exposed to like a lot of just like, oh yeah, you know, this kind of mapping, like model this city this way, model that city that way, you know, like writers this way. So I was exposed to a lot of these like mapping tools. So late 2020, both Sam and I were sort of like free agents. We were like talking about, you know, some like ideas we could like work on together. And it was also like almost as like distillation of like a couple ideas. You're like, we wanted to work in climate, we wanted to work in like, you know, air quality, all this kind of stuff. And it's like you're just constantly looking at maps. You might remember those like orange sky days, COVID, in the Bay Area. So you're constantly looking at maps. We're like, okay, like remove everything from this. Like, why are these maps so hard to make? So that was sort of like the idea. We're like, oh yeah, we've done this before. Like I built mapping stuff. I was exposed to mapping stuff. It's not quote unquote that hard. So we were like, okay, let's just build like a mapping software because we know that everyone and their father and mother like uses them, you know, like energy, sales territory, newspapers, anyone that you can think of is looking at a map at some point in their days. So we're like, okay, let's just make mapping like the first class that is on the web. So that's how the idea came around.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because I think a lot of people's experience with maps, you know, sometimes is in the context you're talking about, whether it's during COVID, looking at all of these maps around outbreaks or even just air quality. But I think primarily people look at maps when they're doing kind of solo individual stuff, right? So, you know, I'm on Google Maps, maybe I'm planning out my road trip, right? So tell me a little bit about how the product works, because I think you have this thesis that maps, of course, are much more expensive in terms of their use cases, but also they should be collaborative and they should be, in some cases, presentational. So tell me a little bit about Felt. Who's buying it? Who's using it? What are some of the use cases?
Yeah, I mean, who's buying it? Who's using it? Everyone. I would like to tell it to everyone. I would sort of like zoom out like a little bit even further, right? So like imagine like one way to like think about maps, and I think this is how a lot of people think about maps, is like a routing tool. You know, you put in like, I'm going from like home to school, you know, from home to work, you put in like destination like A to B and gives you a route. So that's like one use case of maps. I think most people think about. Second use of case of maps is like POI, like points of interest. You type in, you know, like Thai food near me, or you know, like type in about the restaurant. You look at reviews, you look at pictures. But if you think about it, like zoom out even more, a lot of the data that you think of as like data, like think of like spreadsheets, think of like databases, there is a geographical component to it, right? Let's look at like your company, like your org. You have customers. Your customers like spread over like different states, different countries. I guarantee there is like a database table somewhere. Be like, okay, like you have this many customers in this state, you have customers in this country, and this sort of like tax jurisdiction. So there's a lot of like giant sets of like data sitting on like everyone's like database, Excel spreadsheet, wherever, that has like geographic component into this. And a lot of the time, you want to like see that data in its most native formats. You want to like operate in it. In this most like native format. And it turns out like Maps is that native format. You want to like be able to like make your database, drag that file. So you'll see like a lot of, let's say, like an energy company, you know, they want to like understand, okay, like where are the power lines? Where are sort of like combustible stuff around these like power lines? Okay, like where are these like power lines going to go? Like where is the energy going to come from? Okay, like is the energy somewhere? Like what's the like the demographic? Like, what does that demographic look like? Let's go. If you go to like Whole Foods' website, there's like a place where you can actually submit, oh, I want a Whole Foods in my location, right? I want Whole Foods in my neighborhood. And then like, you'll see what data they request from you. They'd be like, oh, like, send us like data about like foot traffic, send us data about sort of like population density, send us data about like demographics, like are they like what is sort of like the average income level. So you can see like every industry, like Subway, the restaurant chain does this all the time because they want to expand. It has more restaurants than anyone else in the US. So every single industry, there's like giant swaths of data that has like geographic components, and like there's sort of like no way to like natively work with that kind of like data today. I think that's like where that's the gap I think Felt is trying to like bridge.
And it's interesting because I think the way that any given industry wants to express that data or display it is pretty use case dependent. So you know, one example that comes to mind related to what you were just saying is like PG&E has a power outage, right? And they send you this notification that says, oh, here's the highlighted areas where things are degraded or you know, there's maybe limited power. And here's the regions it affects. And that might be a very different sort of overlay or use case than someone trying to do journalism with Maps, right? So how do you think about addressing the broad set of use cases where some of them are very detail oriented and some of them are very like kind of broad strokes presentational, you know, you're sending it out to thousands or maybe even millions of people?
I mean, that's definitely correct. This is sort of like one of the challenges of this industry, you know. I think of it this way. This is not sort of like our company, maybe per se, but I think of it as sort of like an Excel, right? You know, Excel is used by everyone. And like you know, Steve Ballmer uses Excel to manage his day. And I'm sure like iBankers use Excel in a different way. And you and I use Excel in a different way, right? So I think you need to sort of like build with, Sam likes to call, you know, like a lot of good software is like depth. Like it looks like the simple stuff, but you can, if you have the good primitives there, you can quote unquote like hack your way to be used like other ways. So like one way we see Felt being used by a lot is, like, I think you touched on this, is like presentational. You know, like for example, people are like working like sustainability, people working in these management consulting for like city governments or, you know, specific consulting for like energy planning. They use Felt to essentially almost like a sales tool. They actually, let's say, like they do a lot of quantitative analysis, but like you need to like sell your stuff to like customers. So like you're a consultant, you have a client. They use Felt for two ways. One is that like they do internal collaboration because, you know, we have all the collaborative stuff built in, and Felt makes you look good. Like that's that's one of the key things that I'm sure, you know, you've done enterprise sales, I'm sure at some point in your life, it's like making the person look good is like a superpower, right? Making a person like using your tool look good. So like a lot of people use that look good. And I think that's where sort of like one of our key differentiators come in. You know, Sam is a designer. If you look at like Remix, like it has a sort of like love put into the product. I don't want to say like Felt is sort of like, you know, consumery, but like Felt sort of like makes you look good because we actually poured like heart and sweat into like making the UI snappy and like making you look good. Like a lot, like every single color tries to like work with like every other single color. So like you don't have to be a designer to like make yourself look good. I think once you do that, it makes it easy to use on the consumer side, but also if you use Falt as like a sales tool, okay, like I can like put together some like arrows there, like notes there, and it's gonna like make me look good too. So it's not easy, but I think we have some like superpowers that help us be like horizontal as possible.
Yeah, what that reminds me of is that the classic kind of sales thing in maps that I think of when you go there is the like T-Mobile 5G network map, right? Mm-hmm. It's like all these wireless service providers trying to convince you that they have the best coverage areas and they cover every corner of the nation. So let's talk a little bit about those technical challenges, because you mentioned a few things there. One thing is being able to really optimize for performance. But in general with maps, I imagine there's a lot of interesting technical problems. You have to think about how they work at different zoom levels and like even things like adding annotations and arrows, notes, and uploading different data. I imagine there's like a whole range of problems. So can you tell us a little bit about those? Like when you're building something like Falt, what is the starting point? Like what existing technology maybe can you borrow or at least start from? And then what have you had to, you know, effectively build up from there?
It's a good question. I mean, there's like two ways to answer this. Like one is like patting myself on the back. One is sort of like standing on the shoulders of giants. I would say when we started the company, it felt like there was nothing that we could do for certain things. Like we had to build a lot, especially drawing. So let's look at like a problem like Figma, FigJam. So like these are, you know, they're like vector-based drawing tools. But I know what they did is like, obviously like it's incredible what they did. And like, you know, we take it for granted now. But one of the couple things that you kind of like squint and like realize like there are certain things that make that problem slightly easier is the zoom level is limited. Like you can only zoom in so much Figma or FigJam. But like on like a map, you need to be able to like zoom in essentially, you know, you're zooming like all the way to the, you know, continental level to like street level. So like, okay, like what does that sort of like mean for like drawings? Do they disappear? Do they not disappear? I think that was sort of like this like drawing suite of tools took us like, would seem like we had to like, you know, we used like a couple of things that existed, like none of them seemed to work well. We had to like build it ourselves. It's like drawing challenge, like drawing tools. That's like what now we have to build. On the map render side, that's sort of like a OS level hard problem, partly because like there's just like so much to do, partly because they just, you kind of like run into like browser issues, you kind of like run into like network issues. So on that one, we used to use we've been using other renderers. Previously we used to use like protomaps. Now we're using like map Libre GL.js. So now we stand on the shoulders of giants. But when it comes to like data processing, this is like where we do both a lot of stuff ourselves and also like stand on the shoulders of giants. I think the biggest workhorse is a tool called like Tippecanoe, written by Erica Fisher. Tippecanoe, think of it as sort of like converts files into tiles. So tiling is like, and you can kind of like zoom, you can kind of like think about it as sort of like millions of heuristics like embedded. Let's say you upload something like, it's like famous data set, like all squirrels in Central Park or like all reason Central Park, right? Like, okay, like what does that sort of look like at this zoom level and like that zoom level? Like at a city light, like if you're looking at the street level, you want to like see every single street. But if you're like zoomed out, you want to see sort of like a blob. So there's a lot of heuristics and, you know, there's a lot of like goes into it, like where the attributes are going to go, like which labels are going to show. It's not just about like simplifying the data with like, you know, like polygons. There's actually like several different things. So Tippecanoe is written by Erica Fisher, who works with us, for us. So now we like, we maintain Tippecanoe. On top of it, obviously there are other projects like GDAL, Ogre to Ogre. So those are like open source projects that we use, but I would say a good chunk of Falt stack is written by Falt, partly because it didn't exist until we tried to do it, partly because we need to control like all parts of the rendering stack so we can kind of like stick our hands in and like add hooks so we can like add more value to those products. So we own the entire stack. We own the stack that writes all the way that the base map, like the base map pixels are stored in our databases. And also, like, they're rendered by our renderer. So, like, anything in between, we have control to, like, you know, simplify it, add value to it, remove value to it, add attributes, special case attributes, render attributes differently. So that was like the reason why we had to do a lot of stuff ourselves.
And how much, you know, if any of that technical decision making is informed by the broad applicability of the audience that is, you know, potentially even using these maps, right? So for example, you know, unlike some other tech companies, you're not only selling like enterprise sales B2B to other tech companies. You presumably have like utility workers using these maps maybe on their phone, right? So how does that inform maybe browser compatibility, you know, slow network connections? Like, what's kind of the range of consideration there for the end user that might be looking at this map in an environment that's not just a, you know, Mac Pro sitting on their desk?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge consideration. Like, you got to meet people where they are. Like, we're not selling this like enterprise only tool. Like, I think people would like send like laptops to like enter our customers and be like, oh, your laptops are so old. And it's just like a thing that people, you know, or the companies that did this. Obviously, we can't do that. So you have to make sure that this stuff works everywhere, and like, it works really fast. So for it to like work everywhere, we have this like automated test that tests the product in like Chrome, Safari, and Firefox. And for it to be like working really fast, we also have like automated testing both like on all PRs, some suites of tests that are run, and also like on daily. We run like benchmarks, like FPS, you know, various like, you know, click around and like see how long it takes, and they get alerted. So it is something that's like top of mind for me. You have to do that because like one of our, when we started a company, you gotta have these like talking points, right? One of the things I was just like, I want like Felt Maps load as fast as a screenshot. You know, that's like, what is like, because like screenshots, like obviously there's like cheating because they're flattened PNG, but like, I mean, it's like not that hard. Like, well, we can do a lot to get it as close to like a screenshot. So there's a lot of like automated systems, there's a lot of like processes, and there's a lot of culture to make sure that things work really fast.
Yeah, and maybe you can talk us through that a little bit. So let's say I go and, you know, maybe I go to like a news article, and within it embedded is a map built in Felt. What's actually happening there? Like, is there some smart loading of the kind of map base layer and then the data embedded in it? How do you deal with interactivity in those contexts, or maybe kind of inspired depending on how it's embedded? But yeah, talk us a little bit through like what actually is happening under the hood.
I mean, before we go into like embeds are loose, embeds are largely iframes, right? So like your embed is going to be as fast as your map itself. So let's go into the like map itself.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that we do. Like none of them are sort of like rocket size, but you just have to do them. And like sometimes doing them is like not that easy, right?
Yeah.
When you load a map, we stuff as much data into the first HTML response as possible to like render the thing very fast. So obviously there's like, and I think that sort of like throws people off when we start like working on Felt, because we're very interactive. Like obviously it's like 2D, like 3DS, like drawing tool, very like React, JavaScript, blah, blah, blah. But like we actually stuff as much data into it as possible. So that like when you have that HTML response, you don't really need to do anything else other than like request the base map tiles. So like, like all the like elements are into that, all the bounding box, all the center. So there's a lot of stuff that we stuff everything into it. And like that, I think catches like people by surprise. The second thing is like the base map tiles. When I say like base map tiles, like think of like Google Maps most of the time, we're looking at the base map tiles. They call like street tiles sometimes. And then the satellite images. And the satellite images are just like, you know, raster PNGs. Base map tiles are like vector. So they are like super compressed. And as of like a few months ago, they actually come from our servers. So we control the entire like pipeline where like base map tiles come from CDNs that we own. So they're like, a lot of stuff is like processed beforehand. And the third thing is, and this is what makes like mapping Felt like much, much faster, is there's like the class of like data visualization that people do with like maps, where most of the processing happens on the clients, which is like, there's like definitely like a lot of benefits to it. You have like, you get like a lot of interactivity for free, but you really need to like simplify data quite a bit for it to work. So we do the simplification on the server. So that's what like Tippecanoe is, when I talk about like trees. So we simplify data almost for every single Zoom level beforehand. So like every single like Zoom level, we're only getting from the browser, from our servers, like what you need to be getting and like nothing else. So we're trying to like limit as much, like we're trying to like not send you everything, but like nothing more. And like that simplification that happens on the server is like writing one of our like magic sauces that, you know, like let you upload like a 5 gig file. Like people have this expectation that like an Excel, like you wouldn't expect like a 5 gig Excel file to like load instantly, right? Like intuitively, there's like millions of rows or millions of columns. You can't have that, like, like it should just work. And it can work, but you need to sort of like, it's sort of like, you know, like MP3s was like, they remove all the stuff you cannot hear. But like on the map, like there's only so many pixels on a browser. Yeah. And then there's like at a zoom level, we know how many pixels there are. So we're like, okay, like at this pixel, at this density, we can only show this much data anyway. Like there's just like not anything else to like stuff it. So we do that simplification on a server. That makes it, I think, like much faster. Obviously, on top of it, like all the interactivity we build ourselves, it has to be faster, like kind of stuff. But that's sort of like, you know, table stakes.
Yeah. And I imagine that one of the things you're dealing with is, as an industry, the benchmark is a very heavily staffed team. Like people are used to this like Google Maps experience where, you know, they've probably spent a long time trying to think about performance and the rendering characteristics of their map.
So Google Maps, I think, is like a class of mapping products, right? Like, you know, we talked about, but you kind of like look at how professionals use maps with tools. You know, like maps based by like, you know, like other companies, like the industry behemoths, and this, they're not good. Like, I'm just saying this like kindly. It's a very common, like you find these like maps, you know, when during the wildfires, right? You would see these like maps made by like, you know, counties, like fire departments, like they would barely load. And then you have that intuition, like you would go to this thing, it would just like load, it would just like refresh on you. And like, let's say you make this like filter and you want to share it with your friends, like good luck, because like all the filtering happens on the client, it's not saved anywhere. Like, you send it to your friend, like it doesn't load, it like breaks the browser. So that's, I think Google Maps, Apple Maps, like they do an incredible job, but like they are just like, they are just loading the base map. They're not loading as much data, right?
Yeah.
We work with like giant sets of data. And on top of it, we allow you to like do like drawing and interactivity. And like that, the expectation people have is actually like pretty low. And that's like one of the things that we felt. People are like, oh, wait, like we see a lot of people like, wait, how does this work?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, you just do the computer science thing and it works. But I think people like used to seeing these like aligned maps with like giant sets of data be not performant, and we're trying to fix that.
Yeah, and actually let's talk about that kind of before and after a little bit, because I think you're correctly pointing out that these sort of professional maps use cases aren't in, you know, these kind of consumer maps applications. Talk a little bit about that technology. How did people upload data sets to maps before? Like, what was the world like pre-Felt? And again, even there, I'm sure there was a range of possibilities, but typically, like, what did that look like?
I would say, you know, for the purpose of a podcast, I think the most thing is like, it happened on desktop. Like that's it just like happened like a thick client. That's like most of that world lives in. So there are benefits to it. You know, obviously clients have a lot of power. That's arguable, I think, in 2024, but compared to server, that's sort of like the world. The challenges are like numerous. Like obviously the first one, it's like a static program. Like if you need like new versions, you have to like download new versions. The biggest tool used in this industry, it doesn't even have a Mac version. It's like Windows only, let alone like Linux, right? And I mean, it doesn't even look modern, like a Windows software, but it's very popular. And like, you can ascribe this popularity to like whatever reason you want to ascribe it to. But the second thing is like collaboration is like basically, you know, stuck in like down worlds, you know. I dealt with like immigration, like, you know, I deal with lawyers. It's like V1. Like it's been like 10 plus years that I've had to do this like ping pong of like Excel or Word documents around, but like that industry still like works with that. I think that's like changing slowly. There's like online versions, but it's like you can kind of tell like there's still like a like SharePoint level versus like Google Docs level. And the third problem is, I mean, I just like, I think our software is better. Like this is, and I think the part of it is like better is that like we can just like keep iterating on this again and again, like based on like user feedback, right? Like we just like constantly better. So the software gets there automatically. It's like collaborative. And I would argue servers are much faster these days than thick clients. Oh. Like having the word thick client like obscures a lot of like what can actually happen on the server if you combine your data.
And do you think it has opened up genuinely new use cases? Because imagine what you're saying where, you know, you have to have this desktop application running on a specific sort of client feels like the setup for a specialized role at a company where someone is like uploading a bunch of data, organizing the map, publishing the map, sending it to someone, right? Whereas it really does feel like working on someone like Felt, working on something like Felt would open up the process of collaboration to a lot more people in an organization. Does that resonate? Like, is that a shift you've seen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this almost feels like this is segue, but exactly the workflow that we see. What has happened is, I think for two reasons, like one you mentioned, a common sort of a pattern that you see is there's like one person inside a company that knows how to use like this GIS, you know, geographic information system software, right? That's sort of like the system we're in. So that person knows how to handle that software. And like, both because the software is like hard to use, like, and we touched on this, it's like, maybe it was like, it's like hard to install and use, not because of the UI, like it is genuinely like thick software that like needs to run on the power somewhere. If you go to like GIS subreddits, there's like a monthly thread. People are like, what's the best laptop to buy for my GIS tool? Like monthly, because it's like, it's not an industry awash with money. People are really care about like, they really want to buy thick clients, but like the laptop you're going to buy is like underpowered already. So, and what happens a lot is like, because software is like hard to use, you rely on like one person, like that person becomes like a bottleneck. So like everyone has to like, oh yeah, like throw it over to Paul and like, I'm waiting on Jess. Like that's like a workflow process that we like want to like eliminate. And I think people get to like, oh yeah, like I can add, you know, marketing team, I can add analytics team, like, because, you know, it's online, like the latest version is always there. There's undo, you can duplicate maps. So there's a bit of like versioning. So it opens your company up to like a different like workflow. And then like, as we add like more and more features on the server, it'd be like, oh yeah, like what was usable only by marketing now is also usable right now, like our, the analysts, because you can now like up until like a few weeks ago and Felt, you can only see like, if you wanted to see raw data, you were kind of like limited, but we fixed that. You actually can see the entire raw data. You can actually operate on the entire like raw data, both on the client and the server, like the processes. So it has become this like much, much thicker software that just runs on the server, but all you need is like a browser.
Yeah. And maybe it'll be interesting to dig into a little bit of kind of the technical challenges that are ahead of you today and how maybe how they fit into the workflows. I think from the conversation so far, we've been talking about a few different aspects of Felt, right? There's the rendering of the map, there's the uploading of the data, there's the kind of collaboration and versioning, and maybe performance, we can say, is a bucket of its own. So, you know, what does the team at Felt work on now? What are some of the technical challenges that you think are still ahead of you? And maybe how's that changed over time?
Yeah. I mean, I want to hold my roadmap cards close to my chest.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think like largely there's sort of the big thing. I think like there are two big things the team is like working on, and you can almost like file into like a bucket of like work with bigger and more sets of data. Like there's both sort of like a qualitative and a quantitative difference. One is that like the GIS world lives, like one of the things that we touched on earlier is like very broad. Like it also works with JSONs, but also works with like Snowflake databases. So we're just like constantly like adding more and more types of these like databases that we want to support. And sometimes the file type or like database you want to support is like so different. You have to like architect your system, like fundamentally, like React like your system. So there's a couple of those like React technical like coming. One thing we're working on is sort of like live data, which is like right now Felt essentially still requires you to like upload data once. And then, you know, you can do this via your own API and re-upload the data yourself. But ideally you want to be able to like, you know, here's my database, Felt. And, that's not like a technical, it's not like a computer science problem. If you squint your eyes, it's like an engineering problem. And so like, that's again, one thing that we're working on. On top of it, on the more like the application level things, we found that like people like want to work, people want to embed felt, not in the iframe sense, but like embed felt in their like workflows more and more. So the nice thing is that like we have like customers and like they're hacking their ways, like they embed felt in their workflows. We're like, okay, like don't do this. We'll, which is like a nice feeling where like we take like what they did to like hack together and like, I don't know if this is a word, but productize it. So like, okay, like we actually made this like a real product. So you can see that flows into like API. Okay, like you did this weird little thing. We'll like turn like a proper API so we can manage it. We can make it faster. And on top of it, there's like cornucopia of like features, you know, like people want like more widgets on the map. All right, we're like trying to like figure out where they go in. People want to have more like more localized ways like to work with like data. Oh, I want this like localization versions. You can kind of think of like also, obviously we're like in the business of data. People are like, oh, where is my data go to? Is it in the US? Is it in Europe? Is it in Asia? Can it run on my own servers? And now we have like answers to all of them. The question of like sequencing. It's like, okay, in which order do we attack these problems? But to answer your question, adding more data supports, both in terms of like larger data sets and like different databases, and also like allowing felt to be embedded in your workflows by like better API. I think those are like the two big buckets of work.
Yeah, and one through line, I think, throughout all of those things, but even what you already have in felt, to me seems to be, there's this question of how configurable do you make things, right? So like visual density, even the kind of colors of the display, the thing you just described, people might have very different requirements for how often data refreshes, like if you're connecting to a live data source. How do you think about that problem? Because again, with this idea of serving a broad range of use cases, I think there's definitely some value in being opinionated and like kind of pushing the industry forward almost. There's also, I imagine, just some natural configurability you have to allow to serve the use cases. So what does that look like internally or even just stations with customers?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Like, I think Sam, my CEO, is a designer, like leads products. He calls it like software has depth. Like that's what he means. It's like, it looks simple, but like there's actually more if you get into it. You know, I grew up around cars. So I think it was like, you can open up the hood and felt quite a bit. Like it's not like a Mercedes electric vehicle, but it's like Toyota truck. Like there's a lot of things like we can do. For example, we have like visualization language called FSL. And then there's like an editor. You know, you upload like a giant set of data. You know, you can kind of figure out like how it's like categorical visualizations. You can like raster algebra if it's like a raster file. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do on the UI. And there's also, you can actually like, I call it literally like we have source and actually made the button say we have source. You can like click a button and like see how that visualization is built. You can like literally see some of our internal source code and like change it yourself. So
that's cool.
It's really interesting because like obviously we started being the engineers we were, and now we wanted to change the language ourselves quite a bit as we were like working on. So we started with like the language FSL, felt style language, with like readability in mind quite a bit. Because like we wanted to be like easily readable, all that kind of stuff. And then we wanted to like, we built like a code editor inside and we called it advanced editor. One of the things you immediately see is like, people freak out the moment they see like a curly bracket. They're like, oh no, like, I, like this is like magic incantation. Like I will screw this up. So we're like, okay, like we kind of like slowly like hit that, but it's not gone. I mean, one thing that we've been like learning ourselves is like, more and more people want like simpler things, but it's probably okay to start with the advanced stuff and like simplify it as like people want more. Like Sandy, like I'll like share like some parts of like the roadmap with like API visualization. Like you can visualize the felt map entirely through the API. It's there, it's possible. But turns out a lot of the time, even like developers who call themselves as like, you know, enlightened beings that can understand the language. A lot of the time they want is like, can I send like an API request that makes everything yellow? It's like, write that JSON. Like that's not a good answer. The good answer is like, sure, where's an API point that takes in like that kind of request? And like we do the hard work. So I mean, that's really like the journey. We build a lot of advanced stuff and then some people use it, but even the advanced people, like that's a spectrum, right? Like someone's advanced is like someone's like simple. So we've been like adding more and more like simpler ways to do it while keeping advanced stuff around.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying is you started with the primitives, and then I'm sure you've iterated on them a little bit, but now you're, I think, sensibly having to kind of build these blocks on top of them that people can then compose. And it sounds like depending on the level of skill on the end user, they'll be either using the most base primitives or some of these building blocks that you're building.
It's not even just skill. It's just like, you know, like, I want Fel to get out of people's way. Like, I don't want people to be like, learn this FSL, like, learn this spec. Like, they should be able to do the simpler thing they want to do. I mean, I think that's like one of you guys' like core value propositions, right? You don't want people to learn everything about billing. Like, there's probably ways to like hook into the like the deeper of core, but most of the time you just want to be like, give me a subscription, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, no, this has been really fun. I think maybe last question, what is something that's coming up? It could be any of the things you already described that you're most excited about. It could be a technical challenge or a product feature, but they're just curious, like, personally, what's the thing you're most looking forward to?
I mean, it's like hard to pick, and I know this is like a pagey answer. I think live data is going to like open up a lot of like different use cases for Felt. I think that like close up the suites, like the Felt suite. Like after that, there's going to be like a sales and marketing machine. But like once we have like live data, that's going to be the big thing. And on top of it, I mean, I guess like live data and API use cases. It's just like, what I'm most excited about, it's like, I think we've solved a lot of the like hard engineering problems. Now we need to like build the plumbing around them so that like people can actually like get a lot of the power that Felt has for itself.
Yeah.
That's sort of like a pattern that we've been following. Like our upload tool used to be internal only. We started with this idea that, you know, we had this like data library, we'll like build this like most curated, beautiful data library. It turns out people want to like have that on because it was like way too powerful. People were like, I would have my own data on Felt. We were like, no, you don't. We got this. But it turns out people might have their own data. So I think opening up more of Felt's power to like more people programmatically or like, you know, programmatically just via APIs or like connections, like, that's like what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, excited for you to build that and excited to see more Felt maps out in the wild. Thanks for the conversation and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.